97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This segment of Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors proudly brought to you by Razorback Armory. They're right there in De Pere on Manchester Road. You can stop by and see this new firearm that they've got, the P365X Macro. It is an amazing firearm. It's an inch wide. It's a great concealed carry firearm. I learned of this firearm right after I bought my Glock, which holds fewer bullets, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm still happy. It was my first Glock. But anyway, go to Razorback.
It holds more than the 43X?
It does.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's okay. I'd never owned a Glock before, so I'm happy I finally got one. But
I love my Glock.
Go to RazorbackArmory.com. Get their address, their phone number. You can even make an appointment. Jesse Rolfes is part owner of Razorback Armory, and he's on the phone with us to join us for Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Jesse, good morning, brother. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing today?
Good. Okay, tell us about the P365. How many does it hold?
Well, so depending on the model, so P365, you can get the base model, which will hold 10, the X or the XL, which would hold 12. These are factory numbers. And then the new one, which is it basically has the comp and everything on it, that will be 17. Now, the mags are interchangeable downward, so you can put the 17 round in the one that has 10. You can put the 12 in the one that had 10. So it's very versatile on how many rounds you want and then the size profile of the weapon.
Oh, that's really cool.
And when I brought it up to Jesse, I'm like, oh, I just got my Glock. And he said, well, just become a better shooter, and then you don't need all the, 18 rounds. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that does make sense.
Beautiful point. That's a beautiful point. Because I had the SIG 938. Mm-hmm. And this kind of eclipses that, doesn't it, in a lot of ways?
Yes. Yeah. The 938 single, basically a single action setup, single stack mag. This is a stack and a half, so a little bit bigger in the size profile, but not by much. It's only an inch wide, but your capacity, of rounds you can carry in that small package definitely eclipses pretty much anything out there. Yeah,
capacity matters.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. It does.
Size matters.
It does. I'm just saying. It matters. I think it makes a big difference. I've tried out several of those different SIGs that you're talking about, and what a great gun. I seriously consider upgrading from that 938 here at some point.
Oh, absolutely. Now, they're definitely proven, not ammo finicky. They work. It's a great, manufacturer standing behind the product with SIG. But more than that, they're very reliable, and something in a concealed carry gun, that's definitely what you're looking for.
Absolutely.
And does it break down easier than the Glock, or is the Glock the easiest to break down?
No, they're pretty similar. They have a takedown lever. The slide comes off the top. You can remove the barrel, remove the guide rod spring. Your fire control is captured. Now, in the 365, the fire control is removable. If you needed to get it out for an obstruction or something, it comes out in a whole package, so you don't have to take it out mechanically, like one piece at a time.
Gotcha. Okay. Jesse Rolfes is the owner of Razorback Armory with his partner, Brad, and it's a great store. It's not a giant store, but something I've been bringing up to Mark is about ammo. I saw, I don't know who it was, on YouTube or Instagram about how much ammo the average American should have in stock. I want to ask you that question, and also, where should people store their ammo if they have a bulk amount?
Okay, no problem. Well, we do get the question a lot of how much ammo should I have, and that's really going to vary between the individual customer, what their disposable income is on that. I mean, obviously, they still got to, eat and pay rent. They just can't put all their money in ammo. But a good, what I've kind of dove down to for them is this: how much ammo do you shoot in a year in that weapon? And that, so you have that caliber, let's say it's a 9mm like your Glock, right? How much ammo do you see yourself shooting in a year? And then if you had that much ammo there, if price spikes in ammo, shortages in ammo, at least you've got a year's worth of ammo there. And if it started to dwindle, you could even cut back a little bit. But your ammo secure, because, basically, if you own these guns, you don't have ammo. They're expensive paperweight.
Sure.
You can't use them. So if you had that ammo sitting there, so that the amount of ammo that someone's going to go through in a year, if they shoot a lot, it's going to be higher. If they don't shoot as much, you know, they get to the range and practice every month or so, it's not going to be as much. So their individual ammo needs, and then obviously it's per caliber, per weapon, and then, you know, you kind of factor all that out for somebody. So, you know, you might have a guy that has 100 or 200 rounds. You may have a guy that has several thousand rounds. And then you may have somebody who has undisclosed amounts of ammo because he just likes keeping it.
Yeah, see, in financial services, we used to call that dollar cost averaging. You buy it at all times of the year, so you're kind of getting an average price instead of the highest or the lowest, right? That's great.
Correct. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Correct. Yeah. And then the second part of that question, Bo, where to store it. This, again, will come down to the individual person. So ammo in general, it likes to be where you like to be. It doesn't want to be too hot, doesn't want to be too cold, doesn't want it too moist, doesn't want it too dry and hot. You know, that porridge, you know, is perfectly right. So in your house, if you think about that, wherever is going to be, you know, a lot of people just put it down in their basement. Well, if you've got a really damp, wet basement, not a good That's idea for your firearms or for your ammo.
True.
You know, like your attic is going to get super dry and hot, you know, in the winter. And you know, in the wintertime, it could get really cold. So big swings in temperature is not a good idea. So you just kind of want to evaluate what's the temperature of where I'm storing this, you know, for what period of time. And obviously, is it secure? You know, is it it's just something where, you know, it's safe to be there? And then, you know, some people will store it just out in the open. Some people put in like ammo cans. Some people have like ammo closets or cabinets. You know, they keep all their ammo in, keep it locked up.
Well, I think what you're talking about here, Jesse, is something we've all considered, and that is that every person who is a gun enthusiast should have a gun room, right? So I need to have a bourbon room, and I need to have a gun room.
Not now together.
A cigar room.
Now that two of my three kids have moved out, I don't see any reason why I can't accomplish that, as long as I can get the wife to go along with it.
Yeah. No, but it, definitely some place to, you know, to keep it and store it. And, you know, for a good reason is you always know where it is.
Yes.
B, you know, it's going to be, it's conditioned, it's not going to hurt it. You're not going to buy something, you're paying a lot of money for it, and it's going to deteriorate on you. It's going to go bad because of where it was stored. And then being, you know, it's safe, you know where it is.
Jesse Rolfus is the owner of Razorback Armory. Do you get a lot of bulk ammo purchases through your store? Is that something people could come to you for?
We do, and a lot of that stuff is ordered. So I don't keep, like, you know, 1,000 rounds of this and that here. I mean, we do at times, but, you know, I don't keep 50,000 rounds because of the size of the shop. But if someone wanted to order that, we can order that for them. And I do have customers that make larger ammo purchases throughout the year, especially if they've got an event or something going on, we can supply them with that.
And what is the hardest ammo to find right now as we're talking? Because a friend of mine, she went and got trained, you know, registered for her CCW permit, and she bought a .38 and is having a heck of a time trying to find ammo for it. Is that the one, that the outlier?
38's not it, well, have her come see me. I got 38. But it's not as bad. It was so revolver ammo at 38 357, historically now for the last 2 years, has been really bad. It's starting to fill back in. I'll tell you, the crazy one is 410 shotgun shells. Are obsolete. I get calls for them all the time. They've just gone away. There's some other, so they're making them, obviously, your most popular calibers because of the demand, because of the backlog we had and the supply chain issues and all those keywords that everybody likes to use. But, you know, the reality of it is when it was gone off the shelf, the stuff they're going to fill back in is the most popular. So your 9mm, 45, 40 cal, 380, 223, and even hunting rounds. So the last 2 years, hunting calibers, you know, your deer rifle stuff, your 30-06, 7 mag, 308, you know, 243, they've been very hard to get a hold of. We've been trying to stock up just because there's always that rush at deer season. It was amazing to me that people were coming to me a week before deer season trying to buy some ammo, and we didn't have it. And I had people last year buy a new gun because they couldn't find the ammo for the gun they had.
How about 30-30?
Which is crazy. It's still really hard.
Still hard to find.
30-30 is one that's still not coming in, yeah. And they're still in scarce amounts. So the main thing I tell people is I can usually find you your caliber. I may not find you, like, if you wanted Federal 150 soft point, you know, deer slayer, I may not be able to find that one particularly because that might be out of stock, but I can generally get you your caliber and grain weight possibly with a different manufacturer.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good to know. Now, if you're going to invest that much in ammo, you ought to be pretty good at where that ammo is going to end up, right?
Exactly.
You got to be a good shot so you're not wasting it. You got to tell me more about this Mantis X program that I hear Bo talking about here on the radio all the time.
Certainly. So the nice part about this is if you kind of think about it, it'd almost pay for itself. So you like to shoot your gun, you like to train, and you know, and a lot of people are like, oh, it's just a laser dot, and that's what's that going to do for me? Well, it's really not. So the system itself, so there's a device that is going to mount on your weapon, okay? And there's different Mantises. So there's a Mantis X10, there's the Blackbeard for the AR. But each one of these is going to have a device that's going to mount on your gun. And then you download an app to your phone, okay, and it works Bluetooth with that. But it sees basically the direction of the weapon, how you're shooting it, and it gives you a shot-by-shot analysis of what you're doing. So it sees, it's kind of like they use in pro sports. It's not just right when you pull the trigger, it's recording. It's recording before that, it's recording during, and it's recording after. It knows how you're presenting the gun. Are you moving? Are you flinching just before or just after you pull the trigger? You know, there's a lot of data that it's collecting. And then as it's collecting this data, it actually, so it gives you, like there's some options where it gives you a score, okay? So if people are like points oriented, like, oh, I want to get 100, I want to get 100, you know, that can drive them to try to get better. It also gives you some direction orientation. So you see, am I pulling left, am I pulling right? If you, as it gets this data and this feedback, it will actually, there's modes that will make suggestions to you. So like a coach, if you will, hey, if you do this or that. Now, the beauty of this is, all of this training, everything we're doing, we didn't fire one round of ammo. So all that money we just talked about buying the ammo and storing the ammo and keeping it in your house, we haven't used any of that. But we're still training with that weapon so that when we do use live fire, hopefully we're that much better. We've trained, we've become that much more proficient with that weapon. So if you think all the times that you're using this device and click and click and click, you know, you shot 50 rounds. Well, that's a box of ammo. You know, that's a dollar value. And most of these Mana systems, they start around 100 and you can get them. The middle range is 150 to 250. You can get them a little more expensive. But if you talk about a box of ammo, it's $25. You'll pay for this, you know, in just its use. Now, the other nice part about these is they're not all weapon specific. Now, we do have one that's specific for the AR platform, but if you buy like a Mantis X10, you can mount it on your pistol, you can mount it on your rifle, you can mount it on your shotgun. Nice. So it's not weapon specific. Like, oh, I bought it, I can only use it on my 9mm Glock. No, any weapon that you have, you can get it mounted to it. You know, they'll calibrate, and you'll see what you're doing with that weapon. So it really covers all of your weapons instead of just kind of laser focusing down to one. Now, if you want to be really proficient with your pistol, yeah, you mount it on your pistol and you go to work with it. But there's that option to use it on your shotgun. There's that option to use it on your rifle. It's just, you know, it's not one thing specific. Like some people will buy a 9mm laser piece that goes inside the barrel and it makes a little red dot on the wall. That's nice because I can see where I'm aiming, I can see where I'm pointing, I can see the red dot, but it doesn't give me that digital feedback and that training and that direction on how, if I'm doing something wrong, what could I possibly do better to utilize it and fix it, correct, yeah.
Jesse, the one hiccup I have with the system is there's no bang, there's no recoil, there's no, none of that. And so, like, when people, like, anticipate that you know round going off, that's when they overcompensate and you know maybe shoot low or something like that. How does the Mantis X work with that issue?
Well, there's certain things that we cannot duplicate. Obviously we can't duplicate recoil and we can't duplicate the sounding concussion of it going off. A lot of traits will show themselves with that. I mean, obviously with that, but without it, you'll still see certain traits of you, how you're presenting the gun, the movement of the gun. Again, this is recording before, during, and after the shot. Well, the bang will affect you during the shot and after, but that before movement or how you're presenting and everything up to pulling that trigger, there was no noise. There was no recoil. This is going to show you
if that happened. Yeah, is there any firearms where it's bad to do dry firing? I've always wondered that.
So dry fire, it's so technically, as long as the firing pin has some capture or rebound or spring, dry fire is when the firing pin is designed to hit that primer and set the round off. Right. If it free flows all the way past that and doesn't have a stop, that's when you're hurting a gun. That's why people say rim fire is bad. Well, yeah, you're smacking the rim of that with that firing pin, and you're going to hurt the rim fire, which would be like your 22. If you don't have something that stops the forward motion of that firing pin, it can be bad. Now, if you dry fire a gun here or there, it's not that big of a deal. Something with like the Manna systems and that, you know, they'll have it set up for it, so it's not going to hurt that.
I see.
But your striker fire guns are usually okay. It's your rim fire that I wouldn't do, or you can put a, you can actually put a snap cap in them, and it will, you know, basically it's not a round, but it deadens that actual impulse of the firing pin moving forward and gives it something to hit.
Okay. Jesse Rolfes, Razorback Armory. Last time I was in there, he gave me a demonstration of the Mantis X. Go on in, meet him, Brad, and his whole crew. They do a great job on Manchester Road, about a half mile east of 270. Go to their website, razorbackarmory.com. You can shop there. You can get their address, all that good stuff. Jesse Rolfes, thank you so much for joining us, brother. Always good to talk to you, man.
Hey, guys. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
You bet. Great to get Jesse on there. Yeah, no kidding.
Arm in America. That's what honestly, I like about that guy.
I love that. I love the knowledge that you get, and I'd love to check out that Mantis X. I may need to swing by there and look at that. That's
and there's, you know what? There's no attitude in there. It's just it's a knowledge based group of people that just want to share. A lot of times I'll see law enforcement in there talking to the guys. It's a great group. Yep. Anyway. Have a great rest of your weekend,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, no kidding. That's very timely, too, because there are going to be a lot of people out there looking for ammo because it's already bow season, hunting season coming up here in a little over a month for a lot of us who will be in the woods freezing our butts off.
Trying not to hit them with your car in the morning.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. Deer are everywhere right now. It's be careful out there. It's crazy. Crazy.
All right, that's Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Please share the show. It's always a podcast at 971talk.com. And thanks on behalf of Mark Cox and Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew. Pew, pew.
There it is. There it is. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.